is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Germany, the critical player in the European Union and NATO for the war in Ukraine. The conflict turns on battlefield decisions, but also on decisions about arsenal of democracy supplying Ukraine with the tools it needs to outlast the Russian, we're told, human waves along the Donbass front and the larger threat of Russia's strategic depth, turning this contest of attrition into a long war. I welcome Judy Dempsey of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. She is the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe, which is a publication, online publication you can access easily to read about the many voices across the European Union about Ukraine conflict, but the larger story of the Russian cutoff of energy to Europe after many decades of assuming that it would always be there. The detail this morning, breaking news in Germany, is positive on one hand. Inflation has gone under double digit, which heartens people to think that the remedies offered by the European Central Bank, the Bank of England, the Federal Reserve in America are moving in the right direction over the recovery from pandemic. However, we have specific stories that apply to Germany in Ukraine. The headline, Germany names new defense minister, will face pressure to send tanks to Ukraine. The explanation is that Christine Lambrecht, the former minister of defense, resigned ahead of a conference at the U.S. military base in Ramstein on Western plans to provide Kyiv with more arms. The detail here is something called the Leopard 2. It's a main battle tank comparable to the Challenger 2 in the UK, and the Abrams tank in the United States. But it has provided a window on the topsy-turvy politics of Germany, a coalition led by Olaf Scholz, its many parties, and the Ukraine conflict, damaging German prosperity. Judy, beg pardon for the long introduction, but these things changed dramatically from week to week. It's a pleasure to welcome you. The resignation of Christine Lambrecht, is that a blow to the Scholz government? The new minister, is he said to be an answer to the criticism that Germany is not doing enough? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Thank you, for as ever, for having me on your show. The resignation of Christine Lambrecht is quite a sad affair, actually. Parts of the German media had it out for her. It's slightly chauvinist, misogynist media. Many ministers in any government make gaffes. She made quite a few, but at the end of the day, she was the wrong minister for the wrong time, and she couldn't shine because of the extraordinary structure, the bureaucratic structure of the defense ministry. And one other thing, anybody who becomes minister of the defense ministry, it becomes a poison chalice, or you try to get out of it, or you fight your battles, excuse the metaphor, and you lose. And she lost big time, as did her predecessors.
The Ministry of Defense is a presentation by the Olaf Scholz coalition. What do we make of this change of direction? As the chancellor made a new decision, we always remember the February 27th, 2022 Zeitenwende speech. Has that now been augmented, challenged by this resignation and the decision to provide a heavy main battle tank to Ukraine?
No, I mean, these are quite separate issues. One is the structure of the defense ministry, which is reluctant to embrace hard power, reluctant to become a military power, reluctant to ask the question, what is the military for? This is the first thing. Secondly, there's a huge reluctance in the defense ministry to actually modernize the whole equipment. And with also the European Union and NATO, there's too much duplication, not enough cooperation, not enough collaboration. And the third thing is the enormous heavy bureaucracy that stops change. And Minister Lambrecht could not do this. So the new minister, frankly, he knows something about security, which is a good thing. It's not quite certain he's the heavyweight to actually push through reforms. One last point. With Scholz's Zeitenwende, which was announced nearly a year ago, this is Germany. Things take a long time to change. And when it comes to defense, it's even slower. So let's see, with the pressure of Russia's unending war in Ukraine, if Mr. Pistorius will actually be able to change things. He doesn't have the power. It's Chancellor Scholz that has the power, the ultimate say in delivering weapons to Ukraine.
At the moment, Chancellor Scholz is headed to, if not already arrived, in the village of Davos in Switzerland for a presentation to the Gathering of Eagles that happens once a year after 2 years or more of the pandemic. This is the first time in person. The Gathering of Eagles to hear the prospects of the world's prosperity in the next 12 months. We're told that Minister Scholz is ready to answer, Chancellor Scholz is ready to answer questions about Germany's economy, his trip to Beijing, and especially about Ukraine. There will be an interview on Bloomberg TV. I'm looking forward to the information. However, we get to anticipate Chancellor Scholz's remarks. Judy, the puzzle is, as you say in your most recent essay at the Strategic Europe, is Chancellor Scholz following Ostpolitik revision or Europolitik? Has he made a distinction to Europapolitik? Has he made a distinction to the German people?
Not clearly, but the old Ostpolitik, this close, insidious, very special relationship between the German political and economic elites with Russia, I think it is over. To go back to those days, now what Russia is doing and the extraordinary atrocities and brutality would be unthinkable and unacceptable to the German public. However, Scholz hasn't shifted his compass towards Europe and what kind of Europe he wants in terms of security, in terms of defense, in terms of integration, in terms of the future direction of Europe vis-a-vis Ukraine, Eastern Europe, and of course Russia. And at the back of his mind, of course, is China. China has outstripped Germany now with the car market. And Germany is desperate to go back to China now that the COVID restrictions are over. But Chancellor Scholz is such a cautious man and so poor at communicating and so weak at having a strategic compass that it really is not certain at all what kind of Europe he wants to see.
His colleagues in the European Union, 27 member states, look to have made a collective decision to defend Ukraine and to provide Ukraine with what it wants. The eastern part of the European Union, Poland and putatively Finland and certainly the Baltic states, are all in. France looks to have come over to the same opinion. Italy, the new prime minister, Giorgia Meloni, I'm doing a summary because I'm trying to remind myself, is not dissenting. In fact, is talking about stronger representation in Ukraine. Do all these major decisions, and of course the UK, not a member of the European Union, member of NATO, is all in for providing the Challenger 2 main battle tank. And Ben Wallace, the defense minister, has been outspoken, despite how he's now survived three prime ministers. So does all this influence the politics in Germany? Do the Social Democrats or the coalition, do they listen to their colleagues? Or is this an independent decision-making process? And it would weaken them if they said, well, France says it's a good idea.
Chancellor Scholz is loath to come under pressure because one country makes a decision to send heavy weaponry, such as France or Britain, and he wants to be sort of quasi-independent. But Germany is a member of NATO, and Germany's problem is so multifaceted because of the Social Democrats. They're pacifist on the one hand, they're anti-American on the other hand. There's a little pro-Russian element in the party. They want to have diplomatic relations they want to have diplomatic negotiations with Russia. They don't want to be ruled out of this, which is why they're against sending these big Leopard tanks. There's so many elements, but this requires leadership. And Germany is the biggest economy in the EU. And if it cannot exert leadership at this stage in the most crucial war that Europe is facing, then Germany will have been diminished in its status among the other member states, both in NATO and the EU. This is the time for Chancellor Scholz to find some courage and to find some leadership.
You're right. This would require Germany to act as a strategic player, not as a reactive one. Well said. However, what does that mean about the future of Europe dealing with Russia? Is Russia now a pariah state indefinitely and Germany must plan without it? Is Russia a permanent threat? Does Germany understand that what Russia is doing to Ukraine, it can do to any other country? And look at Belarus, for heaven's sakes. We don't need just Russia. They're now prosecuting a dissenting position and persecuting their opposition. So does Germany have thinking about the future without Russia and Belarus?
I think we should separate Russia from Belarus. Belarus is quite smaller, and the opposition is very vibrant and very courageous, although so much of it is in prison. But the German position on Russia, you have to turn it around, actually, and ask if Russia has lost Germany, because Germany was the linchpin for dividing Europe, for the special relationship between Germany and Russia, which would prevent any major consensus of a tough attitude towards Russia. I think this has changed. I think Germany has made an intellectual leap, but it hasn't used that leap to define what it wants now from Eastern Europe, but also how it's going to contribute to the new Europe and also to the transatlantic relationship. Because in the driving seat now is NATO from the military aspect, and in the driving seat is the EU from the financial aspect. But now Germany has to decide how it's going to juggle both and really take a tough stance and recognize that the old relationship with Russia is over. I think Russia recognizes that too.
A cultural question, Judy, because I've only ever spent a few weeks in Germany in the 20th century. That was a long time ago in another place, and people were much younger, or the young people were not here yet. Germany and Europe have a very troubled relationship for a century or more. We all know that I'm referring to the 20th century. Does that weigh upon decision-making about Ukraine, about Russia, what happened in the 20th century? I think of a photograph from Normandy of a young German soldier. He must have been under 18 years old, dead on the ground. Does that still haunt the decision makers?
It's unbelievably difficult to answer this question. It's the past almost plays a role. The past plays a role for Germany as it does for Poland and the Baltic states. And their paths are very, very different, of occupations from different occupiers. And what the Russian war in Ukraine shows is the different perceptions of the past and their history, which has shaped the reaction by the Baltic states and Poland towards Russia. And it is slowly changing the German reaction of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The past always plays a role. And I think Germany is trying to come to terms with this, given what they did in Ukraine. And the Baltic states and Poland are trying to come to terms with this as well, in trying to have a very different approach towards history inside the European Union. And I think this is actually very, very important, what is taking place.
I'm speaking with Judy Dempsey, the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe. We've been speaking of the past, the 20th century past, the 19th century past. Good heavens, Germany's been at the center of transformation in Europe, at least since Bismarck, if not before. And we're looking at decision-making by the coalition government now that is profound for the balance of this century. But there is Germany regarding its neighbors and Germany in the climate. Next, Germany in winter. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.